Hello, hello, hello. My name is Savannah Gamblin, and thank you so much for hitting play today. I feel like the majority of you who are hitting play are people that I know, and I just want to say thank you so much. I've been getting so many DMs and support online and through social media, and it's just meant the world to me knowing, I don't know, just how many people are like supporting me. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Savannah Gamblin. I am studying psychology currently, and I'm on the way to earning my doctorate. Whoop whoop, very excited about that. Originally, I thought I wanted to be a clinical psychologist. I quickly realized that my passion is relationships. Everyone's in a relationship, whether it's with your friends, your family, your partner, even with yourself, you're in a relationship. And I think it's so interesting how two relationships could both be considered healthy, but they look so different, you know? Because there's situations like open relationships. Wouldn't fucking work for me, no fucking ma'am. However, some people, that is healthy for them. So I think it's just really interesting to understand that there is no one size fits all when it comes to strategies or concepts or coping mechanisms, communication styles, like the whole nine yards. It's hard because us as women, we go to our friends looking for advice. And oftentimes what ends up happening, our friends start putting their idea of a healthy relationship onto you. And our friends don't want to see us suffering. So we're like, he sounds terrible. Or we like find reasons why they're not good enough for our friend. And I think we do that out of love, but at the same time, it's like, okay, they didn't come to you for you to tell them to leave your boyfriend because he's not communicating. That's not a solution, okay? If you want to be in that relationship, regardless of what your friends or family think, and you think there's ways to fix it, absolutely fucking try to fix it. Because like I said, no two relationships look the same, okay? So what could be healthy for them might not be healthy for you. I am a very aggressive person, okay? I have always been an aggressive person. It runs in the family. Totally need meds to not chop a bitch's head off every single day. That's my reality. That's my life. I can tell you right now, I have to have a relationship where we fight. You better fucking believe that if we just have a boring ass relationship with no fights, where's the flavor? Where's the flavor? I'm bored. I'm out. Another little bit of housekeeping before we get started. I am not a licensed therapist yet. So please don't take what I say and be like, I'm fixed. No. If you have mental health problems, you need to go get those problems checked, okay? I've been in and out of therapy for almost a decade now, and I can tell you, it's always that first session that like so much weight just gets taken off my shoulders. And I think it's just because you're able to get it out. So if you have some mental health problems going on, please go get the help that you need and take care of yourself. You come first always, okay? So the way that I want to break this up, there's just no way for me to put all the information into one episode. I'm here to help you recognize those unhealthy behaviors and break down why are they happening, how can we correct them, and how can we communicate better? Like, how can we as a couple, because it takes two to fucking tango, you cannot just fix a relationship yourself. If you both aren't willing to fix what's going on, you're only gonna get so far. A lot of issues that go on in relationships, there's a lot of psychology involved. There's so much psychology. So as soon as you can understand that, once you understand where a problem is rooted from, it is like almost instantly, it feels so much easier to understand. So I really wanted to take my time with this. So the way that I'm gonna break it up, this is gonna be the first episode. And it's called the 9-month rule. It's kind of an umbrella episode is the best way that I can explain this, because I am just going to touch base with what we're going to talk about in the next couple episodes. So I'm just going to jump right in. The 9-month rule. This is something that I truly feel to my core almost everybody has gone through at least once. Typically, when you first start dating, I think as adults, we learn how to avoid this a little bit more, and our patience runs a little bit thinner. But for some of us, this just keeps happening, and that's okay. That's completely fine, but it's good to recognize that. So what it is it breaks down into three parts. Part one is going to be month 1 through 3, which I call the cupcake stage, also known as the honeymoon stage. This is the part where your oxytocin and serotonin levels are through the fucking roof. Love is a drug, right? So this is that part. And you are addicted to your partner. You guys are so obsessed with each other. Lust is in the air. You guys are meeting each other's friends. Maybe you're meeting each other's family. You guys are just like really hitting it off, getting along so well. You're barely fighting. The sex is good. You know, I could go on. We all have been there. That's how a relationship starts. And then we get to month 4, 5, and 6. And this is when shit starts to get a little bit real. I call this the unraveling stage. Reason is because that mushy, gushy, biting my tongue when you're doing something that annoys me, but I don't want to make you upset or start problems this early in our relationship, so I'm going to just keep my mouth shut. Yeah, that goes kind of out the window. You start to bicker a little bit more. You start to understand each other's bad habits. Does this sound familiar? I 1000% have gone through this more than once. Unfortunately, but it just is what it is. And then you are understanding, oh shit, this is an issue that we're facing with in our relationship. So like for me, for instance, one of my exes, during this unraveling stage, I started to notice, he's kind of a sneaky motherfucker. He's not always honest. Like he might say that he's here, and then I hear that he's actually here. That's cute. Not really. Or I had another ex where, okay, possessive. God, I fucking hate men. Do you hear that? You have to hear that. I know you hear that. That is ridiculous. I guarantee you that's a fucking Honda Civic stick shift. Guarantee it. Another example, I had an ex where, he did this cute little thing where if I were to look at another man a little bit too wrong or a little bit too kind, I wanted to suck his dick, apparently. That's what that meant. So possessive energy started to shine through. These are just examples of what could start to peek out a little bit during this unraveling stage. Then comes, okay, so there is actually, before I get into the last stage, there are actual studies done. Psychologists have done multiple case studies where they have found out that most relationships, adult relationships, typically, if they're going to fall through, it's around the 5-month mark. And I agree with that. I just say 9-month rule because sometimes us as women, we get really attached and dependent, like emotionally dependent. And so we hold on a little bit longer than we probably should. I am super fucking guilty of this. I absolutely had a relationship where I stayed in it almost a year. A year, you guys. Way fucking longer than I should have in a relationship. But I stayed because I was afraid to be by myself. I was convinced that I could make the relationship get back to the way it quote unquote was. I just had all these reasons, all these excuses as to why I shouldn't have left. And looking back on it now, I was only hurting myself. So I stay 9 months because we tend to be a little stubborn, especially when love is involved. We are not ready to let go. And we also, I say we as females, as a collective, not everyone's like this, but I think a lot of females are. We just love to fix things. We love to fix men specifically. We thrive. We see that guy that has all these problems and we're like, I'm going to treat him right and he's going to learn how to love. And blah, 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 blah. Like literally, gross. Get out of here. So the last stage is the realization stage. I personally feel that the unraveling stage is one of the most important parts of a relationship. I fully believe that, and here's why. You are going to learn something. You have to. You literally cannot get out of a relationship without learning something. I fully believe that. Like, if you didn't learn anything from any of your past relationships, you're not trying hard enough. Like, you're not thinking hard enough. You're just not putting in the mental work, because every relationship can teach you something. You know, like that Ariana Grande song where she's like, one taught me love, one taught me patience, one taught me pain. Like, she's not fucking wrong. Like, I don't care what the circumstances are. You can always learn something from a relationship. So that's something to keep in mind always. And in my brain, the realization stage is the realization part. Like, you are going to learn something here. You're going to either learn something about your partner. You could learn something about yourself, or what you are and aren't willing to sacrifice, what you are and aren't willing to put up with, what your flaws are. I think relationships are so good at teaching us areas where we need to work on ourselves. So the realization stage is month 7 through 9. The realization stage is typically when those fights that you guys were having in the unraveling stage, they just aren't seeming to go away, okay? They're an issue that just keeps popping up, or maybe somebody is being very controlling or manipulative and you just are super stressed out and you don't know how to fix it. You don't know how to get out of it. You don't know how to help them. You don't know how to help yourself. Or my absolute least favorite, you guys, you have got to stop saying this. Oh, but it used to be so good in the beginning. Oh my gosh, but he used to be so sweet. What? That literally makes no sense. I need you to understand how much that doesn't make sense. Of course it was good in the beginning. Are you kidding me? If it wasn't, you wouldn't have stuck around. And here's the other thing. Women, we gotta get it together, because men do not work the same way we do. We go into relationships being like, okay, this is in the long run. Okay, I don't know many females, there are some, but I don't know many who go into relationships not thinking long term. Okay, men, on the other hand, they go into relationships goal oriented. All right, I want to really get that through your head. They are goal-oriented in almost every aspect of their life. So when they start a relationship, they go above and beyond at the beginning. And that's why a lot of females think like, oh, he's losing interest. He's not losing interest. I really promise you, he didn't lose interest. He just achieved his goal, which was you. He won the girl. He got the girl. And now he's able to focus on a new goal. So it could be his career, it could be school, it could be his friends, his family. He's going to focus on a new goal. So I need you guys to stop looking at your relationship and looking at the beginning, that cupcake stage, and thinking this is the way that it is. It is not the default mode. That is him trying hard, and he will never try that hard again unless he fucked up somehow and he's trying to win you back. So it doesn't make sense when you keep referring back to how it used to be, because you are refusing to look at what's right in front of your face. You're refusing to accept reality, and you are convinced that you can go back to that oxytocin, serotonin filled place, and you're like trying to chase that high again. And sometimes you get little moments of it. You know, maybe this sounds familiar to you. Your relationship is feeling very stressful, but every once in a while you get that glimpse of how it used to be, quote unquote. And you are like, oh my God, see, I knew he's changing. It is so frustrating. Like, even a horror movie is good at the beginning. A horror movie's normal at the beginning. Nothing starts terrible. That's not how, like, do you know how many professors I've had? I've, like, gone into a class. I'm like, oh my God, this professor's so cool. 1-2 weeks in, I'm like, die. Literally die. I hate you. I want any other professor but you. Like, true colors are never out at the beginning. So we have to stop living in this fantasy la-la land of what it used to be and treating that like that is what it could be forever and always. It will never stay that way. I'm sorry. It's just an unrealistic expectation, and that's just the hard, cold truth, okay? Getting that out of the way. This is the part where I'm gonna break it up into other episodes, but I wanna touch base on them today. There are potentially three reasons, in my opinion, as to why you could be stuck in this realization stage, the stage where you feel like you are trying everything and it's just not going anywhere and you don't know what to do because you don't wanna leave, but you're kind of unhappy staying. There's three reasons why you could be stuck in that position. Reason number one, you're afraid to be alone. Like I mentioned earlier, I have been in this position. I am not judging. It happens. It's normal. Because think of it this way. I totally get how you're feeling. You could either be alone and miserable and lonely and crying and probably going through a little bit of a depression episode. It's normal. It happens. Breakups fucking suck. Or you could be in a relationship where you're miserable some of the time, but some of the time you're not, okay? So your brain looks at the two options and it is a no fucking brainer. You're gonna choose the latter. You are going to stay every single time. You cannot bring yourself to face something that's just like, it seems like you're gonna lose, you know? So the funny thing with that is you're looking short term. You're looking short term, and I will get more into this in the next episode, but our brains are meant to keep us alive. We have survival mode instincts, and this is an example of that, believe it or not. So your brain looks at the options of, I can either be in a situation where I understand my circumstances. I'm unhappy some of the time, but some of the time I'm not. And I know that I deserve better. I know that I could be happy almost all the time with somebody else, but that's unknown. I haven't met that person yet. So for me to leave and join the unknown where I know at the beginning I'm going to definitely be upset, and what if I never find somebody? What if I'm not good enough? What if somebody doesn't take care of me as well? What if I get into a worse relationship? Like, there's too many what ifs, and your brain is protecting you from that. It's like, whoa, 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 sister, we're not going down that path. We already understand what we got, and we've been dealing with it for this long. We can put up with it a little bit longer. So that is your brain putting yourself into survival mode. I call it kind of like caveman brain. That's an umbrella term that I'm going to use throughout this podcast, because there's so many like survival instincts that we have that we don't even realize are playing into our decisions. So that could be a reason, because you're afraid of the unknown. I don't want to make this episode too long. So moving on to reason number two, you could potentially be the problem. Okay. What I mean by this, you might be a little bit too dependent. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It happens, but it's something we have to correct. Because if you are too dependent on your relationship, you will always be disappointed. What's an example of this? He wants to go out with the boys. You feel abandoned. You want him to stay home with you. Well, what the fuck are you guys gonna do? Watch Netflix for the 10th time in a row? You know, like things like that. Or he's not texting you back fast enough. Or if he is in a bad mood, you take it extremely personally and it affects your whole mood. Like, your emotions depend on his emotions. And if he's in a bad mood, you're in a worse mood, you know? So these are examples of being too dependent. That is actually very toxic behavior. I'm not calling you toxic. I'm just saying those are not things that are going to serve you in the long run. So that's something that I will cover in an episode in itself under reason number two. Another thing is, this was an issue in one of my relationships personally. You don't understand your partner's love language or their attachment styles. So what that means, love languages, there's five of them. There's words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, or physical touch. You fall under one of those. So everybody has a dominant love language. It's your way. And it's funny because you could actually have a different love language that you give than you prefer to receive. For example, me personally, my love language, giving it, is words of affirmation. When I am showing my love, I verbally show it. I tell my partner, I'm very appreciative of you. I'm so grateful to have you in my life. I really love blank about you. Like, I verbally tell them how I'm feeling and give them reassurance and validation. However, I hate receiving words of affirmation. Like, it's nice to hear it once in a while, but if I had a partner tell me words of affirmations all the time, I would be so grossed out. I'd be like, wow, clinger, stage five fucking clinger, get out of my face. I would be so annoyed. So that's an example of, like, you could have a different giving love language than you do of receiving. Now, attachment styles, this is something where this is modeled to you, okay? There's four main ones, and it actually breaks down into like four other little ones, but for sake of time, we're just going to talk about the four main ones: low avoidance, high anxiety, or low anxiety. Okay. This theory was developed by John Bowlby, and he was a British psychoanalyst, and he basically figured out that, okay, when you are raised by your parents, you have an attachment style that basically is a defense mechanism from separation, okay? And you are modeled that. You see that from your parents being together, and you also are experiencing that as an infant with your parents, okay? The theory is that if you have a certain attachment style to your parents, for example, if you have separation anxiety, so when you are separated from your parents, you cried, sobbed, freaked the fuck out. Or some babies are like, see ya, let me know when you're back from the grocery store, bitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's different ways that babies react to being separated. This plays a role into your adulthood and intimate relationships. So we all have seen those relationships where some people have extreme separation anxiety, or one partner is way more independent than the other. And you're like, do you just not care about me? And then he's like, what are you talking about? Of course I do. But he's just not attached in that way. That's not his attachment style. So if you don't understand love languages or attachment styles, you could actually misinterpret your partner's way of showing love, or their way of communicating, or their way of showing affection. You could misinterpret that as them not caring, or they don't love you the same amount you love them, when really you just need to take the time to understand how they show their love and what area of attachment style they have, okay? Because then once you understand that, you're able to look for it and you're able to kind of self-validate. The third main reason that you could potentially be stuck in this realization stage of not knowing what to do, of you guys just keep having the same problems, or you kind of want to leave. The third reason could be because your relationship is actually very healthy, but there's one area of problems. So I personally experienced this, and I actually had a friend, she experienced this. So she was with her boyfriend for almost a little bit over 3 years, which is kind of scary. But she was in this relationship for a really long time. The reason being was because she was in a very healthy relationship. They respected each other so much. He treated her so well. When they fought, it was like one and done deal. Like, they got it done in less than an hour, and they respected each other's opinions and emotions. They validated, they did all the right things. Problem though, his mother cheated on his dad. So he was paranoid. He was very paranoid. He was afraid that she was going to do that to him. He had abandonment issues. He had betrayal issues. And he projected that onto the relationship. And she understood. Like, that's a valid reason why you would have those problems. So she wanted to be the supportive girlfriend who could be patient with him, help him work through these issues. Okay, well, 3 years later, they're not going away. And he's still projecting his fears onto her, and it got exhausting. I mean, you can only help somebody so much, and if they're just not going to help themselves or work on it or get the help that they need, I mean, there's only so much you can take on by yourself. So she had to leave that relationship, and it was very difficult for her because she wanted to make it work so much. But like I said earlier, it takes two to tango. So if your partner is not willing to work on themselves or willing to work on the issue at hand, then it's going to be very difficult to get very far in the relationship and fixing those problems. So the third reason why you could be stuck in the realization stage is because you know what you have is good, but there's one issue that just keeps coming up, okay? It just isn't going away and you don't know what to do. And I would love to help you through that. So what we're going to do for upcoming episodes is I am going to break these into three different episodes. Reason number one, you're afraid to be alone. Reason number two, you could be the problem. Or reason number three, you're in a very healthy relationship, except. So that's what's to come. I'm very excited to share the information that I've gathered for you guys. It's just so exciting to learn new shit about psychology and how it, like, it's so funny because I'll learn something new in class and then I'm like seeing it everywhere in my real life scenarios. I'm like, holy fucking shit, it makes sense now. And it's so funny because knowledge is power. If you understand why something's happening, you can understand how to fix it and how to make it not happen anymore. So thank you guys so much for listening to this first episode. I am loving the support. Please DM me with any questions that you guys have. My Instagram is Savannah_Gamblin. My last name is like gambling without the G. It's a baller fucking last name. But thank you guys so much, and I will see you next Monday. Bye. So thank you guys so much for listening to this first episode. I am just, I love talking. I could talk all day. It's a bad habit of mine. But anyways, I am just loving the support that I've been getting, and keep it up. Please, you can follow me on Instagram and DM me with any questions that you have or any topics that you want me to cover. My Instagram is Savannah with an H underscore Gamblin. That's like gambling without a G. Love my last name, by the way. Totally fucking keeping it. And just thank you so much for listening. And I am so excited to talk to you guys more next week on Monday. Bye.